Merry Christmas. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Spencer Harmon. I'm the senior pastor here at Vine Street. And Garfield, we're really happy to have you with us. Joey and I are good friends, and we meet up regularly. And I sit at Joey's feet and learn from him about what it means to be a pastor as an older brother in the Lord. And I'm really thankful for your pastor and thankful for your church. And for your partnership in the gospel in the city of Louisville, and so we're really happy to worship with you all. Let me pray with us one more time as we open up God's word together and ask him to speak with us in these few moments that we have, okay? Father, we do come to you and we ask in these few moments that you would do a mighty work in our midst. That you would warm our hearts to Jesus Christ, your Son, God become man. What an expression of your heart that is, Lord, towards the world. And Lord, I pray that we would just marvel and we would see you as a God of great hope that offers us great hope at Christmas. And I pray that we would experience that tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this year, my wife and I, we sent out some incomplete Christmas cards. And let me explain what I mean by that. Taylor and I, we went out to the store and we bought an assortment of Christmas cards this year. We didn't just buy one. We bought three different kinds of Christmas cards. And the fronts were really pretty. At least they looked pretty to me. Taylor picked them out. There was one that had a Christmas poem written on the front of it about Jesus' birth. There's another that has the lyrics of O Holy Night on it. And then there's this other one that is just all red, and it just says joy on the front of it. And when we got home, we opened up the Christmas cards, and I noticed something about the red card that said joy. Some of the Vine Street folks might have actually gotten this card this week from us. So here's what it said on the... And you open it up on the left side of the card, there's a Bible verse at the bottom. And it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Now that's a great prayer. It's a good enough prayer that we sent that card to several of you on the Vine Street side. We want God to fill people with joy and peace at Christmas time. But there's something that was missing from that phrase. This nagging question, if you were to just read that maybe for the first time, how? How do you get joy and peace? It's one thing just to pray and wish that for somebody, to just say, may God give you all joy and peace. That's a great prayer and it's a great wish. But it's one thing to wish it for somebody or to pray it for someone, but how do you know when they have it? How does somebody get it? At Christmas time. And that's probably a nagging question for people in this room right now. You are here on Christmas Eve. We've come through the Christmas season, and there's stores, there's TV watching, listening to the radio, there's all of these people in the Christmas card industry where you see all these familiar phrases, right? Joy and peace. You should have joy and peace. Even people that don't believe in Jesus are wishing you joy and peace at Christmas time. Right? People, stores, world leaders are wishing you joy and peace on Christmas Eve. But how in the world does that happen? How in the world does that happen? That's a really important question. Because whether or not you're a Christian, you want joy and peace. You do. Every person in here tonight is searching for joy. You look for it in relationships, maybe. Maybe you look for it in your career. You look for it maybe in our families at the holiday season. You get that sense of joy when you see everybody gathered around the dinner table. Maybe you look for it in holidays. Maybe the kids in this room are looking for it for a particular gift under the tree tomorrow that will bring joy. The same thing can be said for peace, because a lot of the times at Christmas, we're reminded of an area of our life that doesn't have peace, right? Christmas can be a very painful time. Reminds you of broken relationships that aren't reconciled, tension in your family. Reminds you of a loss in your family, someone who just recently passed away, maybe. and they're not there, and you don't feel peace. And so you see those messages all over our culture and all over the world, and it makes sense. Most of our greeting cards are filled with those messages. People want joy. People want peace. It's a good desire. It's a natural desire. It's a universal desire that not just us, but everybody in our culture right now is thinking about these things. We want joy and peace. But here's the thing. Greeting cards can't create joy and peace in you alone, right? A greeting card alone can't give you joy and peace. Santa Claus on the radio saying Merry Christmas can't give you lasting, solid joy and peace that lasts. And we all know that to be true. No matter how many commercials we hear, maybe even the warm fuzzies that you may feel as you're snuggled up next to the candle in the window on a Christmas Eve service singing some Christmas songs, we all know that those things don't last long term, right? So how do you create it? How do you create real, lasting joy and peace in a human soul? And you do it by taking the incomplete Bible verse on my Christmas card that I sent out and completing it. That's how you create joy and peace in a human soul. And so what I want to do is I want to look at one passage, one phrase from a passage of the Bible, and just ask, how do you create joy and peace this Christmas? And so we're going to look at that incomplete Bible verse in Romans 15, 13. And I'll just read this to you. We're going to ask this question, how do you create lasting joy and peace? And then we'll continue to sing. This is what this verse says, completing it. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. So I just want to give you just two ways from that verse to have real, lasting joy and peace at Christmas that lasts into August of 2017, okay? And here's the first way. Recognize that God is the God of hope. Recognize that God is the God of hope. Real, solid joy and peace come from seeing God as a God of hope. I want you to see this in this verse. I don't want to skim over this phrase at the very beginning. Look at what it says. It says, may the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. That passage is teaching that real, solid joy and peace come from a person. Did you catch that? It comes from a person, the God of hope. The God of hope. Why in the world is it important to know that joy and peace come from this person at Christmas? It's important because the source of your joy and peace determines how long it's going to last. The source of your joy and peace determine how long it's going to last. So if you were to come over to my house anytime in the next year and have dinner with my wife, you would see my daughter Melody most likely trip and fall. Okay? It just happens all the time. She trips and falls on our floor. And when she falls, here's what we don't do. Oh no, you fell. We hope you're going to be all right. Do we need to call the ambulance? Are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? Let me see you. Are you bleeding? Huh? We never do that. Even if it's a really scary fall, we don't do that. Here's what we do. You're fine. Stand on up. You're good. Sometimes when she falls, she looks it up at us and we go, yay! And she's like, okay, okay. Why? Why do we do that? Because at this age, the source of Melody's joy and peace when she is in trouble is the response and the disposition of mom and dad. We're the source of the joy and peace. She gauges whether or not there is hope from this fall when she looks up and sees that mommy and daddy are clapping. That's not a perfect analogy because sometimes we clap and she's still in tears, but you get the point. You get the point. That's the same effect that recognizing God as a God of hope is supposed to have on the human soul. Because Scripture teaches, all throughout the Bible you see this, Scripture teaches that every soul has fallen in a much more serious way than I just said about my daughter. It teaches that every soul has rejected God and rebelled against him as our creator. And that we're deeply entangled in this pit of sin. We're far from God and we've rebelled against him. It's not just that we've fallen into a pit and we're victims. We've willingly walked into the pit and said, I'm going this way away from you, God, my creator. I'm walking away from you. It's a hopeless situation that we're in. We're in a hopeless pit of sin. And this is why most of us experience such a lack of joy and peace in our lives. We can't climb out of the pit. We try to climb out of the pit with the perfect job or the perfect relationship or the perfect vacation, and we get these like spasms of joy, but nothing lasts. And we realize, after the high ends of whatever that thing is, that it's not going to give joy. We still find ourselves in the pit. And this passage is calling you to be like my daughter, to look up and see God as the God of hope. We're meant to recognize that even though we've rebelled against him, God gives real hope for fallen, rebellious sinners in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born into the world to die for people who are in the pit of sin. That is what Christmas is all about. Amen. Jesus dying for sinners. Friends, this Savior is how you receive real, lasting joy at Christmas. That's how you get it. It's seeing God as the God of hope that sends Jesus into the world to rescue those who are hopelessly stuck in sin. God is a God of hope. So first, recognize God as the God of hope. And then the last thing is this. Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. That's how you get lasting joy. You don't get real joy and peace by just recognizing that God is a God of hope. By saying, yeah, he's a God of hope. Great. No, no, no. You get it by completing the incomplete Christmas card. Here's what the verse says. Let me complete it. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. There's this song that plays at Christmas time. You know this song, and I might step on some toes, but believe me, I love you. It's called Believe by Josh Groban. Me and my family like the Polar Express. Okay? But here's what the lyrics say. Believe in what your heart is saying. Hear the melody that's playing. There's no time to waste. There's so much to celebrate. Believe in what you feel inside and give your dreams the wings to fly. You have everything you need if you just believe. Now that song will give you the Christmas feels. It will. It does. It does to me. But there's something wrong with it. It tells you that you'll have everything you need if you just believe in your heart and believe in what you feel. That's what it tells you. You'll have everything you need if you just believe in your heart and believe in what you feel. But if you are anything like me, your heart is fickle and your feelings change if you have a bad lunch, right? There's nothing sturdy there, Josh Groban. There's nothing sturdy there that's going to give real solid peace and joy. But the song is on to something. You do need to believe. You do need to believe. But believe in what? That's the question. Believe in what? Everybody talks about believing at Christmas, but nobody talks about what you should believe in. You can have all the faith in the world, but if it's placed on the wrong thing, it won't help you. Just like if you were to have all the faith in the world that a bridge made out of dental floss was going to hold you up, it doesn't make it more sturdy, right? You're just foolish with a lot of faith. It doesn't get magically sturdy. The passage says that the God of hope fills us with all joy and peace in believing. Believing in what? Believing in Jesus. Friends, at Christmas, it's easy to do something And it's really dangerous, and it's really subtle. It's easy to just admire Jesus. It's easy to admire Jesus, like admiring something at a museum. You walk up to him, you look at it in kind of a detached way. You're interested. You might even pause and feel a bit of wonder at a candlelight service, kind of like this. Kind of like at a museum, you just kind of look, oh, that's interesting. And you just move on and you look at the next thing. But the call of this passage is to not just admire at a distance. It's to believe. It's to trust in him as the only one who brings real joy and peace. And what that means for us here is turning away from all of those other things that we believe in to give us hope, joy, and peace. Because we're all believing in something. You are. I am. Relationships, jobs, that vacation in the spring, that new piece of technology, that gift. I'm believing in something. You're believing in something. You need to turn away from that and place your faith in Jesus alone. All your security in Christ alone for the forgiveness of your sins. So in closing, it's comfortable to do this. It's comfortable to leave the Christmas card incomplete. Isn't it? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. It's a great wish. It's a great prayer. But when we finish it, Christmas gets confrontational because it gets personal. That verse looks at you and it says, God will fill you with all joy and peace by believing. By believing in Jesus. Gets personal. And it's supposed to be personal. Christmas is supposed to confront us every year. The reason Christmas exists is so that way you and I can have real access to God through Jesus' death and resurrection by believing in him and turning away from all those other things that we put our trust in. So my Christmas prayer is that you and I would not just admire Christ from a distance, but that we would turn away from every false hope and that we would trust in Christ alone for lasting joy and lasting peace. And it's the only way to have lasting joy and peace in this life and in the next life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do confess that it is so tempting to put our hopes in different things, but Lord, you have blessed us with a holiday like Christmas to reorient ourselves to the hope that we have in Christ. So, Father, I just want to ask for myself and for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, that you would give us grace to set our hope fully on Christ, that we would let Christmas be a time when we think about what you have done in sending your son into this world, and that we would reorient our lives to be centered on him, and that we would turn away from every other hope that will only disappoint and only lead us to destruction. And please, Lord, let us put our hope on Jesus, who will lead us to eternal life. Lord, we thank you for providing him for us. And we thank you for the fellowship we have with you through him. In Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd like to stand as we continue to worship tonight.